Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. It's Tuesday. That means 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. Get them in now at 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about overused words and words that you can replace those overused words with. We're also going to have some food conversation, and Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head another celebrity name game. That's all coming up on the show this morning. But right now, you know, when you hear Bill Withers, you only think of one person, Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell, you can hear him on Rokan's show 3 to 7 weekdays doing sports. We used to cross paths every morning when he was Steve Cochran's producer. And we like to have Kevin on, one, because he's awesome, and two, because we love to talk sports, and we get him on to talk all kinds of sports. And you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And let's welcome Kevin back to the show. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, I love talking to you. I always get excited when I see in the inbox on the email from Dan that says, hey, can you jump on with Nick? And my response always is, only if you play Bill Withers when I come.
that's always the prerequisite, no question
about
it. Right.
No, I love talking to you. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
So let's talk first of all. I mean, the freshest sports story is that Super Bowl. Pretty amazing, man. Pretty great game.
You know what? Going into it, I couldn't pick a team. I mean, you know how it is going into Oscar season. Who's going to win the best picture? And some years are tougher than others. Sometimes you know for sure who's going to win.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick it. I could not pick who was going to win this game. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat, or at least a lot of bold predictions out there, like, oh, the Patriots are for sure going to win, or the Eagles are for sure going to win, at least not from any fans that had any bias towards either team. And it played out that way. I mean, Tom Brady played one of his best Super Bowl performances, and you know, the Patriots didn't lose because of Tom Brady. The Eagles went out there and won that game.
Yes.
And it was an awesome game. I mean, there was big play, there was double digit 20 plus yard plays, meaning big time plays, plus I think there were like 6 or 7 30 yard or more plays. I just thought the whole game was phenomenal. I think for me the biggest thing I was surprised about was how it ended with Brady fumbling the ball away. Not so much the fact that I was surprised the Eagles were able to get to Brady, because that's what they're known for.
Mm-hmm.
But you just didn't expect that to happen. Tom Brady fumbles the ball away with 2 minutes left when we all thought he would march down the field. So it had a little bit of everything. I thought it was a great game.
I did too. I thought it was very, you know, football's not a top priority in my sports world. But you know, I watch Bear games during the season every once in a while, but I always watch the Super Bowl, obviously, because it's the Super Bowl. And I thought it was really exciting back and forth game. And you know the first sack comes with 2 minutes left in the game.
Right.
I mean, that's really, you know, unprecedented. And two trick plays to, you know, to pass to quarterbacks, one obviously that worked and went for a touchdown, and one where Brady could have used about 5 more inches on his fingers.
That and a little bit more speed, and that may have helped him.
It
had a little bit of everything. I've been trying to like figure out the game, and honestly, it was such a well played game. And I know some football natural, you know, people that love the game might not think the same way, but it's the state of football. There was one punt, Nick. There was one punt in the game.
I
grew up seeing like double digit punts in games, and on the biggest stage, you saw one punt from the
Eagles.
I don't think the Patriots punted at all.
And it was in like the second quarter. It's crazy.
And it blew the total yardage. Wasn't even close. I think they broke the total yardage combined from both teams, I think late in the third quarter, or at least early in the fourth quarter. So that's just the state of football. It's a very offensive game. It's a very quarterback driven. But I don't think either team played poorly, really. There were some special teams snafus in the first half. But for the most part, it wasn't like anybody really gave away the game. You got to give all the credit to the Eagles. They took that game. You beat Tom Brady. That's, you know, I equate it to, you know, a lot of people are a little bit, they don't like to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl anymore. But come on, this is Chicago. We had Michael Jordan, the Bulls, and everyone You know what I mean? Like, you should appreciate greatness in some ways. I always talk about the Tiger Woods effect in golf where, you know, golf junkies are going to watch no matter what. You know, people who are in the middle are going to watch a little bit more if there's some stars like Phil Mickelson playing and whatnot. But my mom, who hates golf, if Tiger Woods is on Sunday and it's Augusta, she's watching golf. if Tom Brady and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, a lot of people are watching because of that, because it's identifiable. You know who he is.
Yeah. All right, we're on the subject of football. Let's talk Bears. New coach, Matt Nagy. What do you think?
I like the hire. Nothing but praise from everything we've heard of from people around the NFL. Adam Hogue, our Bears insider here at GN, was up in Minnesota, and he had to talk to some people who, you know, the NFL, everyone knows each other. And some of the stuff coming out of the Super Bowl, it just complete praise for him. So I like the hire. He, Ryan Pace, the general manager, and Mitch Trubisky are all connected. Their longevity in Chicago will all be decided by what Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback, does. And I think Nagy's the right guy to build an offense around Mitch Trubisky. I think it's a bit progressive where you hear RPOs, and not to, you know, bore people with football lingo, but you heard it a lot even in the Super Bowl. It's a run pass option. So it's just an evolving offense, you know, spreads and different options and things like that. And Trubisky's the perfect athlete, the perfect quarterback to run those sorts of things. So, and anybody who's come from the Andy Reid coaching tree has had pretty good success. So I like it. As we've seen here in Chicago, you just don't know. We gotta wait a couple of years to actually see how this thing works out.
Right. And Bears again, Urlacher elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's great, and that's deserved.
Yeah, you know what I love about when local and having been very lucky to cover baseball in the town for the past few years now, and when players get elected in the Hall of Fame that are like Chicagoans. You know, Frank Thomas a few years back, and now Urlacher, and basically all the beat reporters who do hold that bias in any personal relationships they do have with players, a lot of the stories come out about their interactions with players. And the stuff you heard about Urlacher and people who have been around him, I mean, just such a good guy. So I'm just happy for him, you know. And I think it was deserving. I think he was a pioneer at that position. He was... You know, when it was he and Ray Lewis was just the linebacker we all grew up with, the big middle linebacker who was going to hit you and get a whole lot of tackles. And Urlacher got a lot of tackles and he had some big hits, but there wasn't really a linebacker like Urlacher. I mean, that cover two defense from Lovie Smith, that doesn't work without Brian Urlacher. He shut down the middle of the field, and he relied on speed rather than strength. I'm not saying he wasn't a strong guy. We all know he is.
Yeah.
But it was a different style of middle linebacker that I don't think a lot of people have seen. Now you see it more often where speed is huge for the linebacker position, like Luke Kuechly with the Panthers and guys like that. Just a really good guy and a really good football player, and a guy who I, you know, growing up, 2001 he was drafted, I want to say. I mean, I was 12, 13-year-old, and I was playing peewee football. I loved watching Brian Urlacher. So I thought it was much deserving, and I'm glad he got it on the first ballot. I think it was well-deserved.
You know, I think he got elected on the first ballot because he has hair now. I'm pretty sure that's...
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, he did confirm, though, that his Hall of Fame bust, the bronze statue
put
into the Hall of Fame, he will be bald for the Hall of Fame bust.
Good,
though.
Good.
In case anybody was wondering. No disrespect to restore hair.
Right. That's an important detail, I got to tell you, Kev. I think that's a very important detail.
You know, Deion Sanders, who was notorious for the bandana around his head, he went, his Hall of Fame bust has the bandana on the head. You got to go with your signature look.
Exactly. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, congratulations to Urlacher, man. Great player, good guy all the way around. And we'll look forward to Bears season. Well, now football season has ended, and now, of course, the next sport that we're all looking forward to. Well, I'd rather not talk about hockey right now because I'm having a very...
I was worried about you a little bit.
Everybody's
on the edge of their seat here.
It's just been brutal, man. But let's move on to baseball. Warmer weather, hopefully, and all kinds of cool stuff. Now, you attended the Cubs convention and the Sox Fest. Tell me a little bit about those.
Well, it was interesting because, I'll start with this. And I think there's, how do I put this properly without completely ticking off Cub fans? Like, at this point of the year, and like when with the spring training coming, there actually is like a little bit more, I don't want to say interest because there is more interest because there are more Cub fans. It's a larger fan base. But there's more intrigue with the White Sox right now because, I mean, I think Cub fans can relate. Look back to like 5, 6 years ago when you had this stocked farm system like the White Sox do right now.
Yeah.
So I think there's intrigue there. Like, there's a, like, you know, I went to the Rick Renteria, the manager, and Rick Hahn, the general manager. They had this panel the Saturday of the site, and it was packed. I mean, it was a big ballroom. I mean, there was hundreds of people standing room only because people are very interested in the future. And I think, like, at this stage of a rebuild, which Cub fans can relate, you know, to 5, 6 years ago when you had guys like Addison Russell and Javi Baez and Kyle Schwarber, and the list goes on and on. You know, the Cub fans are almost like the savvy veterans right now with, like, their arms crossed, like, leaning against the wall, like, yep, we've seen this before, we understand. So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying there's not that interest in the, I mean, of course there is. I mean, the Cubs convention was what you would expect it to be. It was a little bit different, obviously, from last year when it was just crazy because they won the World Series.
Right.
And there was still a ton of excitement and there's a ton of enthusiasm and, like, everything you would expect. I just think with the Sox fans, White Sox fans are experiencing now at their convention what Cub fans experienced last year, which was being the World Series champions. Right now, White Sox fans are like, whoa, we've never experienced this before. We have a stocked farm system. Normally, they're like patching their pro team, their big league club team together with like free agents and aging veterans. So this is new territory for the White Sox, just like it was new territory for the Cubs last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, listen, Kevin, hang out, okay?
You got it, man.
All right. Kevin Powell is with us. We're talking sports. We'll come back, and he's about to head to spring training next week. We want to talk about that and what's to look forward to there and storylines for spring training for both teams and much more. Kevin Powell, you can hear him doing sports on Rokan Show 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And when we come back, we'll talk more sports with Kevin right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What do we got, 8 days till pitchers and catchers? Eight, seven? Seven or eight? I think it's eight. We should ask Kevin, because Kevin would know. Kevin Powell is joining us, and we're going to talk some baseball, some spring training, and hopefully the talk of this will eliminate the weather from our minds right now. Kevin Powell, you can hear him doing sports on Rokan Show from 3 to 7 p.m. on weekdays. KPowell720 is how you follow him on Twitter. It is Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I've been told it is indeed 7 days before the pitchers and catchers. Kevin, welcome back, man.
Yes, I will be in the desert a week from today. I'm going to really, really, really miss the cold and the snow.
Yeah.
Nick, so pray for me when I'm out in the desert.
Yeah, I mean, it's been these past couple of days have been fantastic, haven't they?
Oh, they're beautiful. I mean, who doesn't love, you know, wet feet with the snow slipping through the shoes and shoveling and salt? Who doesn't love that?
Who doesn't?
That,
and then it gets down to negative, you know, wind chills. Know. It's awesome.
Hey, you know what? But this makes it tougher, right? And then for the better days ahead when we're all sitting in the beautiful ballparks and watching baseball.
All right. What are you looking at? Let's talk Sox first, since we just heard one of the Sox theme songs. What are the major storylines for the Sox? What are you looking at for spring training for the Sox?
Yeah, again, I think it's the prospects. You know, talking to the prospects, Michael Kopech's a big name you hear about. His girlfriend is like a big social media star, so he's naturally become a big thing. And, you know, there's guys like Eloy Jimenez and Yoan Moncada we saw at the majors last year. So I think the obvious big storyline for the White Sox is the prospects and when we will see the prospects at the major league level. When will we see Michael Kopech? When will we see Eloy Jimenez? And Eloy Jimenez, by the way, is, you know, he's the guy who was CUFC and company traded to the White Sox for Jose Quintana. So there's some connection there as well. And with Dylan Cease. So the prospects of the storyline for the White Sox, no question. Jake Berger was their first pick last year, who I believe has maybe the best nickname in Chicago sports right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but his name is Jake Berger, like the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And his Twitter handle and his nickname is Bergatron. Bergatron, like Megatron.
Right.
I don't know. I'm really into it because you may have heard, Nick, I like to eat food. And I'm totally digging. He's like the Kyle Schwarber of the White Sox, right? I shouldn't say that. Schwarber's lost a ton of weight, but Berger is like a thick dude. He can just crush the baseball. I think Chicagoans will love this guy. And he grew up a White Sox fan, so I think Bergeron right now is one of my favorite storylines for the Sox.
All right. And now on the opposite, on the north side, what are we looking at for spring training for the Cubbies?
Yeah, so for the Cubs, you know, this is where they're at now. We're talking about a team that should be contending for the World Series. I mean, that's they've put themselves on that pedestal. They are that good. So the question marks aren't, okay, who's going to fill this position? Like, the Cubs have all the positions filled. It's like, who's going to perform? I think the bullpen for me is a big question mark. That's kind of been overhauled with Wade Davis gone, Brandon Morrow's right now your closer, essentially. He's coming off for a career year. Who's going to be the leadoff man? You don't know that.
Yeah.
Since Dexter Fowler left, there hasn't been a leadoff, man. The Kyle Schwarber experiment, I'm pretty sure, won't be.
No, I don't think that's going to come
into that again this year. I have no idea who the leadoff man. I know some people have tossed around the idea of Chris Bryant batting leadoff, which honestly I wouldn't be completely opposed to. He's the best hitter on the team. Maybe next to Anthony Rizzo. Evelyn Moore is probably going to be your starting center fielder, but he's the antithesis of a leadoff guy. I mean, he swings at a ton of pitches, doesn't have, you know, great contact, things like that. I think he's a good player, and he's going to, you know, evolve into an even better one. But I think that's a big question mark right now for the Cubs, which, and of course, who's going to fill out that starting rotation? Is it going to be, you know, I think the free agent market has been extremely slow, but I think you're going to see one of three players in the Cubs uniforms in terms of starting pitches. You're going to see either Jake Arrieta back, which I think is probably the long shot here, Yu Darvish, or Alex Cobb, who has ties to Madden, and Jim Hickey, their new pitching coach, because Cobb's been within the Tampa Rays organization for a while. Jim Hickey was their pitching coach, and of course Madden was there before. So I think you're going to see one of those three guys, and Montgomery will get some reps too as the fifth or sixth guy. So I think back end of the rotation and leadoff are the question marks for the right. And we'll see what happens with the bullpen are the question marks for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. Now, let's talk a little bit about what the Brewers are doing, man. I mean, what's going on there? They are building.
Yeah, they got a young general manager. I think he's the youngest in baseball. I want to say like my age or early 30s, maybe 31. So he's one of the youngest general managers, and they're not messing around. You know, the Brewers last year, I went up there for a couple games, and I think it was the third to last series of the season, something like that, or like the second to last weekend series. They were right there. I mean, that got pretty tight. And I think that actually played a role into the Cubs postseason a little bit, because that bullpen last year had to pitch some serious high leverage innings late in the season, and then that carried right over. There really was no let up for the Cubs. I mean, it kind of went down. The Brewers are not messing around, I'll say that.
Yeah.
They do have a crowded outfield. They just got Yelich, and they signed Lorenzo Cain. They have Ryan Braun, of course. We'll see that. They might not be done dealing. They probably a starting pitcher or two away and some bullpen help away from being legitimate contenders. But they're going to be like that annoying, you know, gnat that you can't swat away. They're going to be a good team that the Cubs have to seriously look at.
Jim Thome got elected into the Hall of Fame, so deserved. And you know, he played for the Sox for a while. And you wrote a piece about him, and you met him.
Yeah, remember those devastating tornado that hit Washington right near Peoria? And Jim Thome grew up in Peoria, still, I believe, lives there now still. But when I was producing for Steve in the morning, we actually went out there. You may remember this.
Yeah.
And we went out and did a show out there, and Mayor of Washington was out there, and Jim Thome showed up. And Jim Thome donated $100,000 toward tornado relief of his own money. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. And, you know, talk to some of the locals over there. They were so grateful for everything. And Pete McMurray, who works here at GN, many know Pete. Pete's a Peoria guy.
Yep.
And even before that, he just loved Thome because of such a good guy. There is like a character clause when it comes to the voting for some of this Hall of Fame stuff. But I think some of it might get overlooked. I mean, the guy could be a jerk, but be an amazing player, and he's still going to get elected. But it just feels better when a good guy gets put in the Hall of Fame, whether it's Cooperstown or Urlacher with Ken. It just feels better, doesn't it? Knowing that, like, a good guy who did it the right way, who was a good player, it feels good. I'm happy for Tomey. I'm happy I got a chance to meet him. Didn't cover him as a reporter, but it just meeting him briefly for, you know, an hour. He took pictures and autographs with everybody. So it's good to see good guys. Good things happen to good guys.
Yeah, and the video of him getting the phone call was just so great.
Well, I mean, it shows you right there. I mean, his raw emotion.
Yeah.
I mean, just tears, kissing his wife. His kids were there.
Yeah. Nice moment.
Yeah, so great. Yeah, yeah. I see him with Urlacher when they knock on his door.
Yeah.
And, the Hall of Fame execs there and kind of let him know that he's a Hall of Famer. So.
Yeah. That's and also I have friends. I have a couple of buddies of mine who are from Cleveland, and they couldn't be more happy either. I mean, Sox fans are obviously happy, but Indians fans are ecstatic too. So,
yeah. Just a great career, a long career too. I don't think people realize how long the guy played for, and I don't think people realize his numbers. 612 home runs.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I think people like just kind of forget that he was like silently collecting 35, 40, 45 home run seasons year after year after year. So, and I know he only played with the Sox for a few years, but he had some pretty incredible moments with his 500th homer was in a Sox uniform, and that was a walk-off homer.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, great career and probably an overlooked career.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Well, listen, Kevin, always a pleasure to talk to you. You notice I conspicuously skip Blackhawks talk because I'm a little...
hang in there. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah,
but, you know, we're all crossing our fingers.
It's been a rough season, man.
Hey, Crow gets back, I mean, it'll be a huge boost. But,
we'll see. But I mean, there's so many things about the team that are frustrating right now. The way that certain players are playing, and the power play is non-existent. It's very frustrating.
But the power play has almost been non-existent basically during this dynasty. Like they've never had a great power play. It's just like this. I don't know if I want to get off.
Yeah, we'll get off on a tangent. We'll both start screaming, and then it'll just be good.
Right. Let's end this on a happy note.
All right.
Tomey and Brian Urlacher getting elected.
Exactly. All right, cool. Kevin, always a pleasure, my friend.
You're the best, man. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Take care. There's Kevin Powell, everybody. You can hear him doing sports on Ro Khan Show. 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays. K-Paul 720 is you can follow him on Twitter, and he will be heading to spring training to cover it all for you on WGN. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next on WGN.